Beal, who's going to share the word of the Lord with us today.
Thank you. I am so glad for Easter and the message that Cephalana brought forth about Easter and how wonderful it is. I had some wonderful things happen yesterday. I had the opportunity, and I'm sharing this in the way of a testimony, had the opportunity yesterday to be with an aunt that is very, very sick. And my mom came from New York, and my mom's baby sister came from New York. And let me scoop back a little bit. Only a couple of weeks ago, Jennifer Sola and I went to see my aunt, and they said that she was dying. And we got there, and she can only speak above a whisper. And I was telling her, I said, Auntie, Mom really wants to see you, and so does Auntie. I said, and they are dying to see you. They can't wait to see you. And so she was so sick, and as the time went on, well, before then, she said to me, she said, how many days is that before they come? I said, they'll be here on Good Friday. It was approximately 32 days. She said, that's not long. And the doctor told my cousin only 2 or 3 weeks later, he didn't even know why she was alive. She was being fed intravenously, everything, and she was just coming down. On yesterday, she was alive. And she had the opportunity on Friday and again Saturday and today to see all of them. And when my mother and her met, she raised my mother. When they met, my mother just began to cry. And, you know, for those of you that don't know, my mother, too, is sick. She has cancer. And so they both cried, and they looked at each other, and my auntie whispered, she said, I made it. And I thought about how wonderful our Savior is, you know, because we don't quite understand the life that Jesus Christ really came to give us. He came to give us abundant life, life overflowing, life that we can't really imagine. And I think about that all the time. I was thinking about how people get confused. The thought of Jesus and his sacrifice and what we reduce it to. What do I have to sacrifice if I accept Jesus? What do I have to sacrifice? Well, an old song says he paid a debt he did not owe, and I owed a debt I could not pay. And I needed someone to wash my sins away. And then all of a sudden, there came Jesus. He decided to take that debt. He paid that debt. I thought about him paying that debt. And think of it like this. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, I want to read these verses to you. Because we're always thinking about sacrifice. Something wonderful happened yesterday also. I got this text that kept binging and binging and binging. It was all of my employees responding to a text that another employee had written them, asking them to do something. And every one of them responded positively that they would do it. Now, to you, it won't make any sense. But as I saw the text coming in, I began to cry because I thought, Father, they get it. They finally get it, because all the time I'm walking around talking about make a sacrifice, give a sacrifice. Maybe sometimes you don't feel like doing a particular thing, but do it anyway, because it's called the sacrifice, and Jesus Christ has given us many sacrifices. And as all the texts came in and I read them all, I thought, Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Because they were willing to make the sacrifice that they were asked to make. 1 Timothy 1:1 says this, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength that he considered me trustworthy, appointed me to his service, even though I was a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. I was shown the mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. Verse 15. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. I have a question. What is your sacrifice? When we look at the depiction of all the movies and every scripture about the cross and what Christ did for us, where is your sacrifice? Where is the sacrifice that you have made? We get into it. Our world is all about fast things, doing fast things the way we got to do it. And then we get into complaining. Do I really have to do that? Am I the person that has to go forward? Am I the person that has to make this sacrifice? Jesus Christ made a sacrifice for you and me so that we did not have to make the sacrifice of dying without him. There was a sacrifice made. And you and I, we don't realize something about that sacrifice. He didn't make a sacrifice for a good person. Paul says he died for a blasphemer. He died for a persecutor. He died for a violent man. Some of the other stories may be like this. He died for a thief. He died for a cheater. He died for a liar. He died for the boastful. He died for the drunkard. He died for the murderer. He died for the hater. He died for the jealous person. He died for secret sins. Jesus Christ died for you and me. And all we have to realize is we can say, thank you, Lord, for dying for me. Someone that did not deserve it, you died for me. Resurrection Sunday always reminds me of how, just how wonderful it is to be alive in Christ. The transformation that he has brought in my life. I think about the word transformation. And you know, when Christ died for us and gave us that opportunity to change, there's something about transformation we don't quite get. We talk all the time about all the things that we have to give up. God is not a God of rules and regulations. But I will tell you this about transformation that God taught me as a child. The closer I come to him, the closer I move to him, the more I see him do, the more wonderful things I read about in his word, those things that I am wrapped up in mean nothing to me. I am ready to give it up, and I have worn this world as a loose garment, and the sacrifice is nothing. Transformation means we get to give it up. Whatever it is that's keeping you from God, we get to surrender it. Whatever it is that's holding us back, we get to give it up. Not you have to give it up. You get to give it up because you want to be in the presence of an awesome God. I remember talking once to my son about how the Lord speaks to me. Because sometimes he says, Mom, how come you know that? I said, the Lord told me. And he goes, man, Mom, one day I hope the Lord speaks to me like that. I said, son, he speaks to all of us like that. But the problem is that in our lives, we don't always seek for him to speak to us. We're not quiet sometimes where he can speak. But what I've learned is there are things I can get involved in that seems to cut that voice in half. Because instead of going forward, I'm backing up. I'm getting involved in things that cause me not to hear the voice of God. And that's when I look at my life and I examine my life and I say, Father, what is it that has cut, that has just put the scissors to what I was hearing? And then I look back over my life and I can look back and see, this is where you were and this is what you've allowed to come between you and Christ. It could have been anger. It could have been jealousy. It could have been that I wouldn't forgive someone. All of those things, they put a barrier between us and Christ. Whatever that thing is in your life, give it up because you want to move closer to Christ, not away from him. Verse 13 was saying, this is who I am. Paul was saying, my life is messed up. My life is not right. This is who I was. All of us have a story like that when we come to Christ. Each of us have a story that we are not like that anymore. I am not the same old thing that I used to be. I have been blood washed. And I'm telling you, my life is not the same. My thoughts are not the same. And it's only because of Jesus Christ. It's not because there's anything good in Robin except Jesus. Verse 14 says, he came to pour grace upon us. There is no lack in God. And how did he come to pour it on us? Abundantly. There's no lack in God. I always think about abundant life. Christians, when you walk in and you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, the desire of Jesus for your life is for you to walk in the abundance of his Spirit and his presence. There's not lack. There is not special things for special people. You can get that in your mind, and all of a sudden you start saying, well, I'll never be able to do this. I'll never be able to pray for people. I will never be used by God. If you say that, it'll be because you don't want it, because Jesus Christ came to give you life. And that more abundantly, and as you get in his presence, and you begin to seek him, there's more and more. I often think, I have not touched in 32 years the tip of the iceberg in Jesus. There's so much more. There is so much more. All you have to do is just get in the presence of God and recognize, God, this is not all. I want what you have for me. I want to go where you want me to go. I thought when I traveled, I thought when I was preaching around the world, I thought that was it, but that's not all. There's more in Christ Jesus. There's no lack. He has abundance of grace, unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. I think about how we are always looking at things that are running out. But if you get in the grace of God, there's that unmerited favor. You can't earn it. His grace just keeps working for you and working in you. Verse 15 says, he is not devastated. This is what I'm giving you. He is not devastated by your sin. That's what that verse means. He is not devastated by your sin. So what are you walking around saying, if God only knew I did this, if God only knew I was a part of this, he would not want me? That's not true. God is not devastated by your sin. Verse 15 says, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. He's not devastated by your sin. He came to save you. He is not caught up with where you are coming from. He is not caught up with what you did yesterday. He came to save you. He loves you. And every bit of the blood that was shed was enough to cover whatever you've gotten yourself into, whatever you're running from. Come running. Come running to the mercy seat of God. Come running to the arms of Jesus. Come running. I surrender all, Lord. I give up. I want you to change my life. Wash me. Make me clean. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me today, God. I want to be clean. I want to know you as my Savior. That's the goal of the cross. That I had an opportunity to run one day into the arms of my Jesus. He was standing there, and I remember so clearly. Everyone was telling me all the different things that were going on in life. But I remember feeling like I was coming, not from a normal family, but a total disaster. And I remember when I came to the altar, I was running because I said, Lord, I need an answer. And I need a Savior. Wash me. Make me clean. I left the house that day, and some of you have heard me say this. And my mother asked me, could I say that? I said, I don't know if you could say it or not. I didn't have the knowledge that other people had. I said, Mom, when I come home, I'm going to be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm going to get Jesus. And she said, can you say that? I said, I don't know, but when I come home, I'll let you know. And I remember running in, and he was saying all kinds of stuff. They were going to pray for people to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I needed a package deal. That's what I called it. I needed to be saved and everything else. So they were praying, and all this stuff was going on, and a guy was just talking and talking and talking. I didn't have the knowledge of when you're supposed to go up. You see, sometimes all the things that we think are proper are ignorant. And so what happened is he kept talking. I said, I don't know if I'm supposed to do it now or later, so I'm going up now. I remember running up, falling just halfway to the altar. And I remember saying, Lord, save me. And then they were praying, and I said, God, fill. And I began to speak in tongues. And all I remember is going home, and the gentlemen, our little ushers or whatever they were called back then, on the van, carried me into my house. I was speaking in tongues. I was praising God, and my mother said, what do I do with her? And he said, leave her there on the chair. She'll finish. The next morning, I was still sitting on the couch, praising God and speaking in tongues. The Lord washed me. He made me clean. He created in me a clean heart, and he renewed a right spirit in me. And then he filled me so that my life could be different, so that he could transform an entire family and bring them to Jesus Christ. That's what the Lord did for me. And all of that took place at the cross. Jesus Christ did that for me. So when I look at the family, here I am yesterday on Saturday morning in the midst of my family and in the midst of everybody, and there are other people there. And my auntie looks at me and she goes, pray. And after I prayed, we went around and every one of them, just pray. This was not yesterday. This was the day before, the day we went. She said, pray. Jennifer and I, she said, pray. I'm sorry, I'm getting confused. Jennifer and I went. She said, pray. I prayed and I laid hands on her. And we began to pray that God would bring his healing, his ministry. But this was the miracle. On yesterday, Saturday, after Jennifer and I prayed, on Saturday, I was looking around, and my auntie was counting all of the family members. And when I went to kiss her, she said, it was because of the prayer. It may not make sense to you because I got a little confused, but I do have to tell you this. I think all the time about the abundant life that Jesus Christ came to give. And John 10:10, his sacrifice for us, and John 10:10 says, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But he says that I have come that you may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Abundant life has brought me so many places. I am here today because of abundant life. I am here today because of what Jesus Christ has done. When people read your story and people look at you, they look at you in neighborhoods, they look at where you come from, and you know what they say? He or she will be nothing. A family fighting out on the front lawn, going in and out of social services, living in other people's homes that did not even want us, being abused in a home. Others would look at me and say, there's nothing good that's going to come to your life. But Jesus Christ said the thief came but to kill, steal, and to destroy. But I came that you might have life, and you're going to have it more abundantly. I have abundant life today, and it burns on the inside of me, and I'm telling you, it's what keeps me going. When I wake up in the morning, I know that I have abundant life. When I go to bed at night, I know that I have abundant life. God has taken my entire life and totally turned it in a different direction. Where I thought I couldn't make it, God said, you're not just going to make it. I am going to help you do it abundantly. I'm going to give you more. God has done that for me. He has given me a hope that I did not know. When my life seemed so desperate, when I remember just crying at night saying, could you really love me? Do you love us? When I escaped the home and I was sleeping in a car, I thought, he doesn't love. But he has shown me more and more each day through the power of the cross just how much he loved me. He went to the cross for me. You see, I personalized this. He went to the cross for me. He was resurrected for me. And I have a greater hope because he is coming back for me. A greater hope. Ephesians 3:20 and 21 says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. He is able to do exceedingly. Some of you are just holding on to the little things. But he's got some exceedingly things, some big things. What is it that you need him to do for you? Hold on to it. There is nobody in your life that Jesus Christ can't save. Today is the day. Today is the day of change. Some of you have been holding on for children for a long time, and you've been praying for those children, and you have been saying, God, when? But you don't understand. My son is a strain. You don't understand. My daughter, I don't know where she is. I'm here to tell you Jesus Christ knows where they are, and he can reverse the decision, and he can change it. He knows where they are. He knows what they're doing. He has reversed the decision over and over and over again in my family. So much so that when people tell me what's going on in their family, I think a piece of cake. Jesus Christ can do that. Oh, really? He can do that? Surely he can do that. Do you need him to do that? You want me to pray for you? I know he can do that. We're in a grocery store. And a lady's in the grocery store and she's moping and walking. And I just see her. So I went past her once and I said, okay, just keep it moving, Robin. You know, because I talk, my son says I talk to everybody. So, and that's partly true. So I kept it moving. Next time I go past her, I see her going down an aisle and she is moping. And I said, okay, Robin, keep it moving. And so I do what I got to do. And then I get up to the register and where is she? In front of me. So she's not smiling. She looked like she died twice. So I just tapped her on the shoulder. And, of course, I said, are you okay? And she said, no. She said, another holiday's coming. I'm going to be all alone. She says, my family never comes to visit me. And I just have no one. And, boy, when she said she has no one, something inside of me just rose up and I said, honey, that's not true. There is someone that has loved you since birth. He was there when you were conceived. And he loves you so very much that he said he will never leave you nor forsake you. He will always be with you. He wants to be your friend, not just your father, not just a brother. He wants to be your friend. And she's standing there and she's looking at me. And I have her full attention. And I said, do you know who that is? And she said, who? I said, Jesus. And tears just came down her cheeks. And I told her, I said, today you have a friend. You are not alone. You are never alone. And she said, can I pay for this stuff and stand over there and wait for you? So I said, yes. And she goes over to the side. And I tell you, I'm in giant. I'm thinking, oh, God, I'm in trouble. And we get over to the side. And I offered her Jesus. And I said, would you like to accept Jesus as your personal Savior? And she said, yes. And we prayed the sinner's prayer. And Jesus Christ came into her life. After she's getting ready to go out and we're hugging each other like we've been family and friends and all of that because we are. And she gets in the car and she's walking with a different walk. She's got pep in her step and slide in her glide. And she is moving along. And I am standing there and I walked over to the car and I said, do you have a church to go to? I said, because I'll be in church on Sunday. And do you have a church to go to? And she looked at me and she said, I don't have a church to go to, but my next door neighbor has a church to go to and has been inviting me forever. And she said, and I'm going to go. So I know that Jesus will change everything about you. So now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly everything, everything, above all we can ask or think. What is it? Who is it that you're praying for that you don't think there was enough blood shed at Calvary for that person? Ask Jesus today. Where I come from, we say, I double dare you. I double dare you to ask Jesus to find your son, your daughter, your grandchild. I double dare you to ask Jesus to deliver them today. Because I know he will. 1 Corinthians 2 and 9 says, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, nor have entered into the hearts of men the things which God has prepared for those who loved him. Who love him. Today, you can't imagine what God really has for you. I want to tell you, you're living beneath your privilege. If you have not just said, God, do whatever you want to do in my life, guide my life, then you're living beneath your privilege, because God has so much more. He has so much more, and he's willing to share it with you. He's willing to take away all of the little isms and schisms and things that we have going on in our life. He's willing to challenge you, as my sister does. I don't like major highways or major venues, so I was trying to find the road least traveled to go to Ellicott City. So I see Mary and I say, hey, can you fix my GPS on the road least traveled? And she's in the car, and I go upstairs to do something, come back down, and she tells me how many hours it's going to take me on the road least traveled. But then she proceeds to do what a sister does. She said, and you're not going to do that. You're going to go, and you're going to do it this way. And I did. And I made it to Ellicott City. And I'm home, and I'm back home again. So I did it. And I thanked her this morning for the kick. Because I know that she loves me, but I also know that she's going to see me challenged. Well, that's what the Lord wants to do for some of you. Some of you are so comfortable just where you are. You got saved. You're serving the Lord, and that's enough. There's so much more. I want to challenge you today on this resurrection day to go deeper, to reach up and really get everything God has for you. Find out what the Lord wants you to do. I want to challenge you to move closer. I want to challenge you that at a grocery store, reach out and touch somebody. I want to challenge you on your job in the stall next to you. Say something about Jesus. Yes, I said stall. And I call them stalls. But anyway, in the little cubby next to you, I'm from New York. What do you all want? But in the little stall next to you, we call them stalls, but in the little booth next to you, okay? You all want me to say it properly. I'm still going to say stall later. So if you're talking to me, I'm going to say stall. But if you'd like for me to say it properly in the cubicle next to you, go tell them about the Lord, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. See, I can speak properly. I just don't. Okay? I want to tell you that Jesus wants you to open your mouth and tell somebody about him. Today, set a goal. You know, I set a goal every year of who I want to see to come to Jesus. I set a goal of 10. Because I was working in a master's program, so I can speak. And if I were going to brag, I'd tell you that I have had a perfect 4.0 in this program, but I'm not going to brag. But God's been good. But I want to tell you this. In all sincerity, I want to tell you this. I set a goal of 10, and I set the goal low because I kept saying, but Father, I'm not going to see a lot of people because I'm locked in the house on Saturday studying. And I'm not out like I used to be. So I set a goal of 10. 10 people have already come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior this year. And I still have the rest of 2014. So the goal was way too low. So I set a new goal. And I said, okay, Father, I don't understand what you're asking me for. But I set a goal of 20 more people. And I believe between now and the end of 2014, that I'm going to see 20 more people come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I set a goal for this reason. Our pastor, when I was growing up, said, if you don't aim for something, you're not going to get anything. So I always set a goal, and it used to be because I was out and about, I would start at 50 and keep going. Now I set a goal at where I am realistically and out. But I'm telling you, between parents in the daycare that have come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, family members that we have prayed for in the daycare, not only have we prayed for them, but in the Morris family, we have a little girl, Sophia Morris, and this was such a blessing to me. Her grandmother came to the grandparents' tea and was dying of cancer, dying. They had given her just a little bit more time. We laid hands on her in the daycare and prayed that God would heal her. Here it is 3 years later. She is now driving. She is still moving. She is still thriving. And the doctor said they don't understand it. That's the power of the cross. That's the power of Jesus Christ. I don't have a point for you today. I have a food for thought. One of the messages of the cross was Jesus sacrificing his life for us. I want you to think about that. But the second food for thought is, what sacrifice have you and I made? What is the sacrifice that you and I have made? We get so caught up in things, but all day today, when you're moving about with your family, I want you to take a moment and say, what kind of sacrifice have I made? It will never outweigh the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us. The value of anything is measured by what it cost. And it cost Jesus Christ his life. And he is resurrected. And today, he is here. And every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment. He is here. And I want each of you to think about this. I don't know what's going on in your life, but what I do know is today you can surrender. Today, you can hear from that loved one that is missing. Because Jesus loves you so much, he is willing to do it. Today, if you've been running, just running, and you've been saying, I'm going to serve him tomorrow, I'm going to do it the next day. When I get some things straightened out, I'll serve him. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to pray for you. When do you move now? As I said earlier, that I didn't know when you're supposed to move. When are you supposed to come? When should you move? If you're here and you want Jesus as your Savior, come now. I want to pray with you. And if not, everyone stand. Stand to your feet. I'm praying today that this would be one of the greatest days of your life, that you would recognize the love of Jesus in your life, that all day, throughout this day, you would feel the Lord wrap his arms around you. He has forgiven you. He has forgiven you. When you come and you have asked him to forgive you, he's forgiven you. Don't keep wearing it. Surrender. Surrender. Maybe it's because I'm a little simple, but I can accept the love of Jesus and I accept his forgiveness. I recognize that all I had to do was come to him and say, Lord, forgive me. It's a simple message. Jesus Christ died for you. He took all of your sins to the cross. And today he lives. And as he lives, he will come again and receive you. All of us that love him, he will come again and receive us. I look forward to that day. I look forward to the day that Jesus Christ will come and take me to heaven. But meanwhile, I will do what the scripture says to occupy until he comes. How do you occupy? By doing the work of the Lord until he comes to get you. Today, when you walk out of these doors, go out, be a witness. As you're eating in your restaurants, look at the waitress. Maybe she needs Jesus. Look at the waiter. Maybe he needs Jesus. You go to the grocery store. Somebody needs Jesus. You're walking up and down the street. You go on a trip. You're going somewhere. Someone needs Jesus. He sent you so they can know Jesus. That's why you went. Not just so you could have a vacation at Disney. Not just so you could go on a trip. Jesus Christ does not go on vacation. You don't go on vacation without Jesus Christ. You take Jesus Christ with you. So wherever you are, Jesus Christ is there. So be willing to be a servant. Occupy. Get busy until he comes. Really labor for him until he comes. I want to put that in your head, that wherever you go today and hereafter, occupy, 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 occupy until Jesus Christ comes. Father, we thank you. Lord, I thank you for Resurrection Sunday, and I thank you, Father, for all that you have done for us. And I pray, Father, that you would move in the midst of each person here, Lord, and that this would be a time, Lord, as they spend time with the family, Lord, that they would shed your love to other people. And Father, that one that's sitting here that says, I should have went up. I should have accepted Jesus. I know I need Jesus. Lord, may they do it before they leave this building today. There was enough blood shed for everything they could have gotten into, everything they could have done. And Lord, thank you for paying that debt for us. In your matchless name, amen. If you are here and you still like to be prayed for, there will be people up front that will pray for you.
May you go in the name of Jesus Christ and occupy our streets for Christ. Celebrate today, enjoy your families, and come downstairs with us and enjoy an ice cream social. Go get your kids so you can experience their camp together. Is the mic on? Okay. Just one more reminder. As you're walking downstairs for the ice cream social, the book fair is still going on. So go buy some good books for your kids. They're going to be getting lots of candies today.